It is a joy to be back here in this place. And some of you don't have any idea who I am, and some of you I've known for a couple of years. And it's I just feel the Spirit here today in a very powerful way. And that's a blessing from God. And then I'm just blessed by what I see from 2 years ago. All these children going out for what they're going to do in the ITAB. That's such a marvelous thing. I think you don't see it when you're here every week, but you need to understand that God has put this church in a significant location, in a significant time, and this church is the church to reach this city. And so what you're doing is so important, so important. And so I come today to encourage you that you're doing a great job. Don't give up. Trials are ahead. Some of you are facing big trials individually. This church will face some trials as a church family. But don't give up. My dad trained horses when he was a young man. And so when I was young, he thought it would be a good idea for me to have a horse. And so I got a little pony. I was 5 years old. I had a pony. It had been a trotting horse that raced. And all it would do was trot. It could trot pretty fast, but all it would do was trot. And then that horse died, and I got a Shetland pony that was bigger. It was very gentle. It was very smart, but it was very fast to a six-year-old boy. And so I'd only ridden a horse that had trotted. And so whenever that horse would begin to canter or gallop, I would just jump off. Frustrated my dad very much, because you can't have much fun riding a horse if you keep jumping off. And my dad knew I was afraid that if the horse got to going too fast, that I would fall off and I would get hurt. And so my dad made me fall off of that horse every way possible. I fell off the left side, I fell off the right side, I fell off the back, I fell over the head, you know. And I learned that I wouldn't get hurt if I fell off the horse. And so then I could go fast. And instead of being afraid to go fast, I learned to love to go fast. And in 1 Peter, Peter is writing to the church that is beginning to undergo persecution. And Peter has understood that persecution is coming that is more severe. And the people in his church are afraid. How will I react when persecution comes? They were not only afraid of persecution, but they were afraid of being afraid. Can you understand that? And so Peter writes to them to say, don't bail out. When the going gets tough, don't jump off the horse. Don't bail out. When the going gets tough, hang in there. Because what you'll find is that when the going gets tough, that God will meet you in the trial. And you can know a sweeter fellowship with God in the trial than you could ever know any other ways. And if you jump off, if you jump off when the trial comes, you'll miss the greatest blessing of your life. And so let's look and see what Paul writes to the church and what Peter writes to the church as they're beginning to undergo persecution. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Peter writes about the testing that comes by fire. When a mine worker extracts mineral from the earth, we call it ore, and it's not very attractive. It's not very useful. It is filled with impurities. It's filled with imperfections, and you just can't use it like that. And so a skilled metallurgist will come, and he'll add a catalytic agent to it. He'll expose it to intense heat, And the impurities in the ore are literally boiled or cooked out, and what is left behind is the pure silver. are the pure gold. And that ore cannot reach its greatest beauty or usefulness until it goes through the refining process. Now in 1 Peter, in Peter's metaphor, you and I are the ore. And God is the skilled metallurgist. When we come to faith in Christ, we are new creatures, but we're still filled with imperfections. We're still filled with impurities. And God very skillfully puts us through the refining fire to get those impurities out of us, to remove from us the imperfections, and to create in us something very beautiful and something very, very useful. And so we ask ourselves, when trials come, we ask why. When difficult things happen in our lives, we ask why. When we suffer, we want to know why. When circumstances become very complicated, we always ask why. We don't always get the answer to why, but I can tell you that God uses the difficulties in our life to refine us. We are broken people. We live in a broken world, and so we're going to encounter trials. But I want you to understand today that what we often see as something very bad, God can make into something very good. And He takes us through that refining. We fear the fire, don't we? We fear the fire. And yet God uses the fire to refine us and to make something great in our lives. And so today I want you to begin to think, what we sometimes think is very bad might be actually turn out to be good. And we're prone to be afraid. And I'm afraid of being afraid. But I think as we go through the refining process, God causes us to face our fears. And when we face our fears with faith, we find out that the thing that we were afraid of is just not so bad. And compared to God, it's hardly anything at all. And so today let's think about the refining process. Now having said all of that, my first point today is this. The refining process is not easy. We're going to look at several different texts today that talk about refining. I want you to understand this is a biblical concept from the beginning of the word to the end. This refining process, we're all going to go through it if we'll allow ourselves. Psalm 66, verse 10, "But you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out to a place of abundance." Once Charlie Brown worked very, very hard to build a beautiful sandcastle. And he stood back to observe his work and just to enjoy it. And as he stood there admiring his beautiful sandcastle, a huge wave came and just wiped it out. And then Charlie Brown said to himself, "I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is." Now we've all had our sandcastles wiped out, haven't we? We've all had some of our dreams wiped out. I talked to a friend of mine recently. He is a partner in his company, and they had a business venture that went bad, and his company had to file bankruptcy. And he said, "When my company had to file bankruptcy, I lost all of my retirement." He lost $4 million. I said to him, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm just going to go back to work tomorrow, and I'm going to keep serving God." He teaches, he has a significant position in his church. He said, "God has been faithful in my life up till now, and I'm sure that God will be faithful to me for the rest of my life, and I will serve Him." But sooner or later, our dreams are going to get wiped out. And it's a testing that comes, and we have to be ready for that. And so what I have found is that when trials come, it reveals my faith. Now, God wants to transform my faith and increase my faith in the trial, but when the trial first comes, it really exposes my faith. It asks some questions about what is the character of my faith? What is the nature of my faith? Is my faith in me? Is my faith really in me and my ability to cope? Or is my faith in the ability of Almighty God to save? Almighty God to bring me through? Is the nature of my faith, is the strength of my commitment? Is it only strong when things are going good? Oh yeah, I'm committed to God because He's being good to me. Or am I committed to God when things are bad? It reveals a level of my maturity. When things don't go my way, do I react like a two-year-old and I pout, or I throw a fit and I stomp my feet? Or do I react like someone who's been a Christian for over 40 years? It reveals the healthiness of my attitude. When difficult times come, do I fall into despair? Do I give up? Or am I positive that God is at work and that He will bring me through? And then it reveals the measure of my teachability. I want you to understand today that when you're going through a refining fire, that God is trying to teach you something. And if you don't learn it the first time, you're going to have to go through it again. Point number two, I'm hammering this home. The refining process is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part through the fire. Refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. The refining fire is always for our benefit. God is trying to draw us closer to Himself. He's trying to make us more and more like Jesus. And so, we're afraid of the fire. We don't like the fire, but we have to remember that it's for our good. And the refining process is always trying to bring out of us the best that we can be. And there is no way to become more like Christ without going through the refining process. The cocoon of the emperor moth is in a flask-like shape. And when it's time for that moth to emerge from the cocoon, it must squeeze itself through that narrow little opening in the top. And scientists have discovered that there's something that happens as that moth is being squeezed through that narrow opening. As the wings are squeezed, it causes a chemical to be released in the wings that make them strong so that that moth will be able to fly. And once Chuck Swindoll tells a story of a man who's walking through the woods, he sees a moth struggling to emerge from its cocoon, and he thinks, there's no need for that moth to struggle like that. I can help it. And he took out his knife and gently just cut away at the cocoon. And the moth fell out of the cocoon onto the ground. And all it could do was crawl. It could not fly. Because it hadn't gone through the struggling process to make the wings strong. And all that moth could do was crawl around on the ground until it died. When God had intended for that moth to be able to soar on beautiful wings. And so as we're going through the refining process, we have to remember that God, in His sovereignty, is trying to create in us the ability to soar on the wings of His beautiful will for our lives. And you need to understand that sometimes suffering and difficulty is part of God's will and part of God's plan for us to bring us into His will. Now, there's some danger as we're going through refinement. There's danger in that. As we're going through the refinement process, we're tempted to believe at least two lies. The first lie is this, that God loves me by giving me whatever I want, whenever I want it. So many times we say, God, I believe in you. I believe you have the power to give me what I want, and this is what I want. And yet God is wise enough to know that we don't need everything our selfish heart desires. And so sometimes the most loving thing that God can do for us is say no. Sometimes the most loving thing God can do to us is to say no. Love means limits. Love means boundaries. And God knows what's not good for us. Now here's the kicker. It's very rare that God just removes something from our life that's not good for us. Most of the time, we have to make the choice in obedience to God to set those things aside ourselves. And so what is God saying to you today? What is it in your life that's hindering your walk with God that God says you must set that aside in obedience to me? The second thing we're really tempted to believe, and aren't even aware that we're believing this, but when difficulties come, we believe the lie that God doesn't care about us, or that God has somehow abandoned us. And yet over and over again, we see in the Bible that the act of refinement is an act of God. That if we're going through a refining fire, that God is at work in our life. And then God tells us over and over again in his word, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. God tells us this over and over again so that when we're going through a time of refinement and we cannot hear him, we cannot see his hand, that we know that he's with us because he promises, I am with you. Now listen, so if we're in a place when things are tough and we can't hear God and we can't see God and we don't know what he's doing, we know that God's up to something special. He's not abandoned us, but he's up to something very special in our lives. And so we must yield to him and say, God, let your work be done in us. Which brings us right to our next point, is that the refiner's fire is controlled. The refiner's fire is controlled. I want to show you a very interesting verse in Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. What does that mean? Refined seven times. You see, different impurities come out at different temperatures. Different impurities come out at different temperatures. And so the skilled metallurgist heats up that metal, that ore, to a certain temperature to get out one set of impurities. And then he's got to heat it up hotter to get out another set of impurities. And then he's got to heat it up even hotter to get... Do you see what I'm saying? And so it is in our lives. God knows exactly how much heat to put us into to get out what he's trying to get out of us. And we have to trust him. It's controlled. He knows what he's doing. John Piper puts it this way. He said, he, God, is a refiner's fire. And that makes all the difference. A refiner's fire does not destroy indiscriminately like a forest fire. A refiner's fire does not consume completely like the fire of an incinerator. A refiner's fire refines. It purifies. It melts down the bar of silver or gold, separates out the impurities that ruin its value, burns them up, and leaves the silver and gold intact. It really leaves the silver and gold more valuable than it was before. And God does that in your life. He'll bring you through the fire. He will bring you through intact. And you'll be okay. God knows what he's doing. Don't rebel against him. Don't rebel against him in the refining fire. If you jump off, you miss the process. If you jump off the horse just when it starts to go fast, you miss the joy. And if you bail out on God, you miss the joy of knowing him. And he's preparing you for an even greater ability to serve him. And so let's think about this. How do we respond in a season of refinement? Now, I'm almost through. Don't drift away. How do we respond when we recognize, hey, I'm going through a refining fire? How do we respond? Proverbs 17, verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. The Lord tests hearts. Maple trees are tapped with buckets hung under the tap, and out drips sap, which is thin and clear. And when the sap first comes out of the tree, it's just not really worth much. It's thin, it's clear, it's not very sweet. And on a good day, 50 trees will yield 30 to 40 gallons of sap. But they take that thin, clear sap and they pour it into bigger buckets, really which are bigger vats, and they begin to heat it up. They bring it to a slow boil, and the water boils out of the sap and it begins to thicken. And at the end of a good day, those 30 to 40 gallons of sap become 1 gallon of good maple syrup. It kind of seems like a waste, but it's not. And God comes in our lives and begins to work, and we're thinking, I don't know what you're doing, God. I don't even know, think this is very good for me. But God has a process in mind to make you useful to him. And David Osborne says this, too often we try to use God to change our circumstances while God is using our circumstances to change us. Let's read that again. Too often we try to use God to change our circumstances while he is using our circumstances to change us. And so what do we do? As we enter into the refining process, what do we do? What do we do so that God can change us? Number one, we must spend more time with God. We can't learn what God is trying to teach us if we don't spend time with him. And when you're going through a time of refining, it is not pleasant. It is difficult. You have to spend more time with God. More time with him. Number two, we must yield to God. God has a purpose in the test. God has a purpose in the test. We must yield to him and not fight against him. Number three, we have to be intentional and diligent about the needed change in our lives. God's bringing us through the refining fire to change us. He wants to change us. And we resist that. We rebel against that. God loves us too much to leave us alone. Sometimes we just want to say, God, don't feel like learning this lesson. Leave me alone. And God says, oh, I love you too much to leave you alone. I see what you can be. I know what I've got planned for you. And so we get to the place, listen, we get to the place where we cannot stay the same and go with God. We cannot stay the same and go with God. And so we must stop resisting him and yield to him and change him. And then the last thing is this. Look for the blessing on the other side of refinement. I want to read to you a passage we started with early in the sermon. Psalm 66, verse 10. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet, you brought us out into a place of abundance. Amen. There's blessing on the other side of refinement that you never could have found if you hadn't gone through the refining fires. Don't give up on God. I was reading a book at John's house that talked about during the Second World War, the German leaders thought if we bomb London, the people will panic, they will flee, they will give up, and we'll win the war. And the people in London knew that they were going to be bombed and preparations were made. And the people in London wondered, what will it be like to be bombed? And they were afraid of being bombed. They were afraid of being afraid. And then the bombing began. Day after day. Bomb after bomb. Fire after fire. And yet the people didn't give up. They were bombed. And the ones who survived said, we've survived. They didn't flee the city. They didn't stop going to work. They carried on. And they did not give up. In fact, the entire world was inspired by their courage. Now, when did they get the courage? They didn't have the courage before the bomb started falling. They learned courage while the bombs were falling. And because they didn't quit, they won. They won. And an entire world is different today because they found their courage in the midst of the fire. And so God comes to you to say, it's in you. I want to get it out of you. And there's a verse that says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. It doesn't say don't be afraid. The Bible never says don't be afraid. It says when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And God says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear. It doesn't mean you can't ever be afraid, but fear shouldn't dominate our lives. For God says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. God can never bring the love out of you until you go through the refining process. He'll never bring the power in your life to fruition until you go through the refining fire. You'll never be of sound mind. Sound mind means that I see God as he is. You'll never have full faith until God brings you through the refining fire. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you for this church, for their faithfulness, in this place, for their faithfulness to reach out. And Father, I know that many of them are facing difficult days. They're going through a refining process, and many times we don't understand why or what's going on. But we make a choice when we don't understand, when we can't see your hand, we trust you. We just make a decision. Lord, I don't like this. I don't know why this is happening, but I trust you. And today, Father, we ask you to bring us through the fire. Bring us to the other side. Change to be more like Jesus. Change to be the person you want us to be. And give us strength and give us courage to serve you in this world and to make a difference. And Father, we pray that today you would speak to our hearts powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen.